Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in and welcome to a new episode of our podcast Around the World. As you have probably already seen in the description, our topic of today is Dubai. Enjoy listening. In the first place, I would like you to imagine yourself in Dubai and to think about what you would see. You're probably picturing yourself between huge skyscrapers, a lot of people, white beaches, palm trees, I don't know. All in all, just a big futuristic glamorous city, don't you think? But is it really just glamour and beaches? I don't want to reveal too much, but you will probably think a bit differently about Dubai after this episode. But now, let's start with the city and some basic information. I have two great scientists with me today. One of them, Lisa Scheller. She's a biologist who wrote a well-received book about Dubai and its ecological problems. Having lived in Dubai for 2 years, she's quite an expert on this Middle Eastern country. Welcome, Mrs. Scheller.
Mrs. Höppner, thanks for having me. So that everybody knows about which topic we are talking today, I present the basic facts about Dubai. The most important question is, where is Dubai located? Dubai is the capital of the Emirate of Dubai. The Emirate of Dubai is one of the 7 emirates of the United Arab Emirates. An emirate is the domain of an emir or a shaikh. So, an emirate is administered by a shaikh or an emir. Dubai has also an absolutist form of power. The emir is Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. Since 2004, he is vice president, prime minister and minister of defense. The official language is Arabic, but because that 85% of the 3 million inhabitants are foreigners, there are many different languages, especially English. There is a population growth of 200% in 20 years.
Why is there such a high population growth?
That's a good question. On the one hand, there are many immigrants who want to live their luxury life, and on the other hand, there are many workers who work for the emir and their monstrous construction plans.
Thank you for that great summary. Let's now hear something about Dubai's beginnings from Tessa Schödel. She's a professor of history at the University of Kent, with a focus on the early history of this region. Welcome, Mrs. Schödel. Thank you for coming.
Hello, and thank you, Mrs. Höppner, for the invitation. I am happy to meet you and to tell all of you something about my special field. The history of Dubai is a very important part of the development, and it shows us how Dubai became a million city, although it was a fishing settlement in the back. In the beginning, the first settlements were in the Bronze time, but there were no historical events. Dubai was a small and poor fishing settlement in the middle of a desert. On the June 9, 1833 was a big milestone. The foundation of Dubai by Sheikh Maktoum. His family is the ruling family until now. In the 18th and 19th century, the city was influenced by the UK colonial power. They had treaties with the sheikhs to secure trade routes. That's why Dubai became one of the most important trading centers in the world. And then there was the beginning of the mineral oil. 1966, they had the first discovery of mineral oil, and 1969, the first export in the abroad. A result of that was a population growth. After that, Great Britain left Dubai, and another milestone wrote this history. 2nd of December 1971 was the foundation of the United Arab Emirates. By virtue of the oil export, Dubai had an economical boom and they constructed the city with giant building projects, which Mrs. Höppner, for example, mentioned in the beginning. But was the oil sector the only finance of those buildings or projects? Those buildings were also financed by private investors who immigrate to Dubai because they needn't to pay for taxes there. Herewith, Dubai now has a big problem. They can't insert a system of taxation because then all of the investors will leave Dubai and they have nobody who finance this country. Development were the start of another big business sector, the tourism. Over the years, this sector grew more and more, and now it's the most important part of Dubai's earnings, next to the trade and real estate. That's all about Dubai's great development.
Very interesting, thanks. I just have one last question. What is your opinion about this history and the development?
A good question. I think it is one of the most interesting histories, because it about faced and is the reason of development in this kind version. The fact that Dubai was a small, unimportant fishing settlement in the middle of nowhere shows that everything has two chances and something can do with everything, even if it looks hopeless at the beginning.
As you have just told us, the city is located in the middle of a desert, with extreme heat, a blazing sun, and basically no drinking water. All in all, it seems like they probably have to face a lot of ecological problems. Could you tell us something about that, Mrs. Schaller?
Yes, of course, there are many ecological issues and problems. For example, the Palm Islands. They are artificially made, and the building plan was signed by the Emir without any checks about the consequences. This can also be seen very well in the following things. The islands were built on a coral reef, so many lives are destroyed. Another impact is that the sand was taken from the seabed. This doesn't sound bad at first, but it is. Because of that are also many lives destroyed, like microorganisms. And another very bad impact is the more sand is sucked from the seabed, the more sand slides down from the coast and beaches. A third consequence of the construction of the island is that the water around the palm leaves to become stagnant, because a sand ring was made around the palm trees as a breakwater. This can also be hazardous to health. The solution, therefore, should be an underwater turbine, but I don't think that this worked out. The last point is that the ocean current has changed because of the Palm Island. Because of that, there is no more fishing possible from the native.
Are there more problems in Dubai?
Yes, of course. The next very big ecological problem is the sewerage system in Dubai.
What is that?
That is an underground water system for dirty water, like the toilet water. It is normal that every city or village has a sewerage system. But Dubai is kind of different, because Dubai forget to build the sewerage system in a few city districts.
What is the solution for that problem?
The solution is that the dirty water must be transported by truck to a wastewater treatment plant. But in fact, a lot of drivers clear their truck with the dirty water into the nature, and that is environmental contamination.
But why do the drivers do those stupid things?
They do it because the driver are paid per drive and not by hour. And the waiting line to the wastewater treatment plant are very long. As you see, construction workers are not treated fairly. They earn about 100 dirham per month and are exposed to a high level of risk. For example, 2004, 880 workers died in accidents on construction sites. That is a very bad number. The last two big problems are the ecological footprint and the water consumption. UAE is the country with the world's largest ecological footprint per capita. Dubai is the leader among the seven Emirates.
And how will Dubai fix its footprint?
Dubai presented the Dubai Clean Energy Strategy in 2050. They want to source 75% of its energy needs from the clean energy sources by 2050.
That was quite a lot. Terrifying, wasn't it?
and those were just the ecological problems, not to mention the rest of the problems.
The question arises as to why, for example, all the influencers immigrate to Dubai and they only ever tell positive stories.
That's exactly what we want to take a closer look at today. There are so many reasons to move to Dubai. First of all, it is much cheaper because there are very few taxes. For example, there is not even an income tax. In comparison, you have to pay between 20 and 50% in Germany. Furthermore, many influencers are allowed to enter bars, clubs, restaurants and hotels for free if they advertise for them.
And where is the hitch in this?
They must sign a contract in order to be allowed to live there. It states that they may only report positive things and may not comment on political or religious topics.
So, propaganda?
Yes, exactly. That's the point. But that's not all. The citizens do not have any freedom of speech. And the press is also censored and is not allowed to criticize the government. And as if that was not enough, modern slavery also exists in Dubai. Dubai was built by many extremely underpaid people. They all lived together in apartments that were far too small, got too little to eat, and were not sufficiently secured at work. On top of that, you wouldn't believe it, their passports were taken away and they were not paid 2 months' salary, so they couldn't flee. Anyone who goes on a strike can lose their work permit. That is the real truth of Dubai.
Whoa, I have no words for that.
You are right, that's horrible, but at least the current situation in Dubai is better. I heard that there was a very low crime rate in Dubai.
I wish, but sadly that is also a lie. It is indeed one of the best guarded cities in the world. What I'm getting at are the laws. The problem is that they do not equally work for women. Let me give you an example. In 2016, a woman is raped by several men. Shortly after that, the judge decides to release the offenders after 5 days. The victim has to spend 16 months in prison for sex without being married. This is the real reason why women do not report crimes and the crime rate remains low. Sadly, there are so many more laws and regulations that often violate people's basic rights that I cannot go into them all in this episode. For example, many women are subordinate to their husbands and always have to ask him for permission. And everything that has to do with LGBTQ is also strictly forbidden and punished. For all those who still do not have enough, feel free to Google porta potty, but be aware of disturbing contents.
I wouldn't have thought that, but no wonder it's a well-known problem that people believe everything on the internet and especially believe in influencers without questioning them because they consider them as friends. I just have one more question. I heard some interesting things about the Sheikh and his family. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, of course. His name is Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. He has about 30 children and many wives. They are living a strictly supervised life. For his entire family, he has forbidden immigration, which is why many try to flee. In 2000, a daughter tried to escape and was sentenced to 8 years in prison after her arrest. Another was also caught and has lived in captivity ever since. However, she was able to send video footage to the press. In it, she talks about being drugged for official appointments, forced to watch killings of family members, and being threatened with torture and death. You can imagine how female workers who have an even lower position are treated. And since we have just talked about how people are treated, we can also take a closer look at the animals. I have heard that camels in particular play an important role. Is that correct?
That's right. The camel races. They are very traditional and for many the most important national sport in Dubai. But if you have a look behind the scenes,
It is far away from Felsport. We have already heard a lot about the fact that in Dubai is a big comparison between rich and poor people. Also in this part of Dubai, we unfortunately will see it again. On one side, there are the owners of the camels. They are mostly rich sheikhs who live in the city and only come to the desert before the races. Meanwhile, of those races, the ruling families sit in an air-conditioned auditorium or drive by their big cars alongside the racetrack. On the other side, there are the cheap camel keepers from Pakistan or Bangladesh who have to sit outside during 40 degrees, and after the races they must stay with the camels in the desert during the summer. In my opinion, it is very sad that in 2023 in so many countries aren't any human rights. All the rich people show their power and exploit the poor people. But this is not the only terrible thing about camel racings. The camels, which are bred especially for this purpose, always reach their limits while the competitions, and unfortunately, sometimes they also exceed them. No wonder if I think about the fact that they must run 240 races in 8 days. Mainly, the reason why the animals run like this shocked me extremely. Nowadays, the camels are driven by robots equipped with wipes. Something like this is in our little world unbelievable.
You said now it's different. Who rode the camels before?
For decades, children from poor families were bought by the sheikhs and used as jockey slaves. Many insured themselves seriously on both sides. Some of them led their life, which were far too short, on the racetrack. I think nobody can imagine how terrible it must be for the kids. And if you think that camel racing is the only unfair animal competition, I can say to you there are many more, for example, the beauty pekin for camels. If you want to know more about it, you can search a bit in the internet. There are many interviews about it.
Thank you for these interesting insights. Before we end this episode, I think it would be interesting to take a look into the future. Ms. Schödel, what do you think? How will Dubai develop in the future?
Before I start with the future plans of Dubai, I want to pick up a point which Lisa mentioned in the beginning of the ecological issues. In 2010, Dubai had the largest ecological footprint in the world, and that was and is a very big problem, not only for Dubai, but also for other countries like Germany. It looks like Dubai has found a solution, or it's better to say a plan. They have a great deadline in 2050 for many big objectives. The biggest one is that they want to be the most sustainable city in the world with 75% renewable energy. In the first moment, it sounds unrealistic. How could it be possible? They will finance $163 billion to restructure Dubai's energy and water construction. For example, by 2030, they will build solar panels on all roofs. And not only the roofs will be used for space for the solar panels, also the space in the white desert. That's a realistic step, I think, because next to oil, Dubai has a lot of sun, so I think it will produce a lot of electricity. Beside of those giant projects, Dubai also invests $14 billion in a solar park, which produces green energy for the whole city.
In my opinion, it's not such a good thing as you said. The solar plants destroy a lot of nature and habit for species. In addition, one has big problem to dispose of the solar plants environmental friendly or even to recycle. These are, in the opinion of many scientists, large downsides of the plants. In addition, one must consider that by these plants also the tourism can suffer. Many look forward to the big city, but also to the endless and empty desert around Dubai.
But you have to build them somewhere. which means that you may have to destroy rainforest, for example. In my point of view, building them in the desert is still better than destroying the forest. And how is it even possible to pay for this project?
As I mentioned, there is a positive side of the reconstruction of the city because of the sheikhs too. Because they are mostly rich investors who finance those projects privately. That's the reason why Germany can't do plans in this giant version, because no state can cope with the extent of costs alone. And another problem is that Dubai is one of the most arid countries, but has 4 times more water consumption per day per capita as Germany. And that's a lot, 550 liters. The solution will be cloud seeding. That's a manipulation of the clouds, so it will rain more often in the desert.
In my point of view, cloud seeding isn't such a good thing. Cloud seeding requires the use of potential harmful chemicals, which are harmful to the environment, and so on also to the plants, which depends on their contaminated rain to produce food. Another reason against cloud seeding isn't that dry areas like Dubai can't handle with rain easily. Because of that, Dubai may become easily flooded because of the cloud seeding. The third reason is that there are unknown impacts of long term, so nobody knows how many and which impacts cloud seeding has for the animals and plants.
Thank you for these interesting insights. What is your conclusion?
In my opinion, Dubai can do everything they plan, because I cannot mention it often enough. As we have seen in the beginning, Dubai was a small fishing settlement in the middle of nowhere, and now it's a city of billions. So if they can do big steps and chances like that, they will also reach this goal.
And what is your conclusion, Mrs. Schaller?
In my opinion, Dubai can do what it wants, because it will perish anyway, sometimes by the climate change. Due to climate change, the sea level rise exponentially, and by the erosion of the sand on the seabed in front of Dubai. Dubai will sink more and more. In this case, Dubai has a bad location.
Thank you both for this very interesting and enlightening conversation. Well, dear listeners, thanks for staying with us until the end. I hope you learned something new, and I would be happy if you tuned in again next week. If you have any further questions, feel free to text us. I have linked you more information and the account of my visitors in the info box. I will not keep you any longer, so don't forget to like and follow for more. And until next time!